Word of this chatter quickly reached Diaz in turn, prompting him to address the rumors with his command staff and go as far as tapping the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security to help him, quote, root out the rumor mongers.
Whoa. So he's looking for the snitches.
Yeah, he actually fired a couple staffers just for discussing these rumors.
Oh my God.
We're talking about SPD. Specifically, Adrian Diaz, mm-hmm. Who is the former chief of SPD back from, 2020 through about December 2024. So yeah. He left about six, seven months ago. Mm-hmm. What do you know about him, if anything?
Nothing. I mean, I'm a newcomer to the city for anyone who doesn't know. I got here about 5 to 6 months ago. And so I'm not up to date on most Seattle local politics. Most Seattle politics. I'm sorry. I could have been more well informed.
Okay. Well. Let's. I'll focus that in and say, do you know anything about how chill SPD was around 2020?
I think I have. I've heard about I've heard rumors of everything around Capitol Hill. The zone. I mean, literally what you and Chapin talked about in your podcast is the extent of what I know.
Yeah, I'm on a real Seattle kick right now, and that's exactly why we're talking about this. So for those of you that don't know, in 2020, very unfortunately, some very not chill things happened in Minneapolis, let's just put it that way. And it evoked a strong reaction, both from the nationwide protesters who were protesting George Floyd's, in my opinion, execution by the Minneapolis Police Department. But more importantly, what it symbolized for police brutality generally. And I've always said that, you hear a lot of pundits being like, oh, he had drugs in his system. He had, he had XYZ, basically doing ad hominem attacks to justify why executing him on the pavement extrajudicially was chill, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think I've always thought that what made George Floyd such a compelling figurehead wasn't that he was a saint, but the very fact that he could have been any of us, that he wasn't a perfect person. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly sort of emblematic of what everyone was so upset about, because it's like, what, do you have got to be perfect to avoid getting executed by police?
Yeah, it was horrifying.
Yeah. Well, anyways, Adrian Diaz was appointed to serve as chief of police of the Seattle Police Department around this time. And now, from that fall from grace, he stepped down in December of 2024. And specifically, just a couple weeks ago, the Seattle Office of the Inspector General has released a long-awaited trove of documents undergirding the investigation that led Mayor Bruce Harrell, mayor of Seattle, to fire then Seattle Police Chief Adrian Diaz for dishonesty in December.
Wow.
Yeah. So the records release comes just 6 days after Diaz also filed a wrongful termination lawsuit against the city, 3 weeks before a mediation session with the former chief of staff.
Wow. So the documents have been flying.
Yeah. Today, we're discussing the troubled legal history of everything that Diaz was up to between 2020 and 2024. And the legal history of the troubles SPD has had and how it ties directly to city and police leadership. It's not good.
Yeah.
So let's dive into it.
I reckon if I had to guess before we get into this, not
just
good.
Just tis but a smidgen of trouble.
Yeah.
I saw a guy who asked Grok to explain the relationship between Israel and Iran in pirate terms on Twitter. I'll put a screen grab of that in the show notes. But anyways. this timeline is dystopian as hell. Okay, so let's back up a little bit. There was an initial misconduct investigation against Diaz, which were made available via public records request to the local news outlets this month or over the last couple of months. These supporting documents, to give you an interlude on what we're in for here, include a love letter addressed to Diaz from his chief of staff, Jamie Tompkins. A handwriting analysis investigation seems to confirm that assertion.
Oh my goodness.
As well as hours of recorded audio interviews with Diaz's colleagues and subordinates testifying to the romantic nature of Diaz and Tompkins' relationship, who is his chief of staff. Yeah, exactly.
Don't put it in writing applies to love letters too.
Don't put it in writing. record it so you get intonation as well. It's kind of this callback to the drug smuggling attorney on episode 3 or something way, 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 way back, where there was a drug smuggling ring in and out of the King County Jail, and they were caught because the fucking collaborators in the jail were talking about it on the jail phones, which are recorded.
That's so funny.
Yeah, except that the recordings broke, so they were holding up signs lines on the video recording. So they couldn't hear each other. So instead they wrote it down and showed it to the camera. Anyways, stupidest timeline.
Yeah.
Don't write shit down. Uh-huh. Exactly. Just days before this information was made available to the public, Diaz himself filed a complaint against the city of Seattle for wrongful termination, which we'll get into, doubling down on his longstanding denial of the relationship of his relationship between him and his chief of staff.
Mm-hmm.
And thus making it unlawful to fire him on such grounds. Now, he was terminated specifically on December 17, 2024, when OIG, the report that dug into Diaz's affair, was first released.
Wow.
And the fucking tacky nature of Hope It All Ewoks or whatever the fuck. Yeah,
it's just so, oh my God, for this to be evidence, can you imagine? That's the most embarrassing thing I could ever imagine happening to me.
You want the craziest shit? What? That was found because it was left in a police cruiser.
No.
yeah.
Oh, man. It's can so you imagine stupid. Getting exposed as a Star Wars nerd and a
horrifying
bad boss in the same day?
Yeah, that was published on KUOW. So, so we'll back up. So the beginning of this story date back to September of 2020 when Diaz was first tapped to serve as interim police chief for the Seattle Police Department. This is an interim position, but it was effectively a promotion. Mm-hmm. The department was facing plenty of demons at the time, we'll put it that way. They had basically retreated from the North Precinct.
Right.
Yeah, they were under siege by the residents of Seattle. And at the time, SPD's response, as someone who lived through it, was brutal. They did not tolerate people protesting police violence. And there's like recordings of them pepper spraying like 9-year-olds. There was a picket line of umbrellas like to defend themselves. Uh-huh. And an SPD sergeant grabbed a 9-year-old out of the crowd and then pepper sprayed her at point
blank.
What? Yeah, there's tons of footage like that.
My God.
And as you can imagine, my opinion is that when SPD deploys platoons of basically soldiers in full riot gear with assault rifles, that's basically permission to the protesters to escalate.
Yeah.
And they did. SPD basically was driven out of several blocks of Cal Anderson, just a few blocks from our studio, and what was called the Chaz, the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone or something like that, was established with basically where the police basically had no jurisdiction, and they abandoned the Northern Precinct, which was a stunning victory for the Black Bloc, which is the sort of extremists among the protesters.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, this evoked a lot of turmoil because SPD rank and file really didn't like this.
Uh-huh.
The people who lived in this neighborhood didn't like this because they were caught in the crossfire.
Yeah.
And then of course the Black Lives Matter protesters weren't particularly appreciative that extremists were sullying their bad name.
Yeah.
But we'll get into that anyways. And SPD city leadership was grappling with all of that all at once because they could not control, they lost control of the situation. I think that's a fair assessment.
Yeah.
In a variety of ways. They lost control of the public messaging. They physically lost control of elements of the city.
Uh-huh.
And they also lost control of the response because SPD responded with such brutality that it made him look terrible on the news. So it was just a huge muddle. Now, SPD was also juggling lawsuits internally during this time. Severe understaffing from morale issues, which is real. Morale and mental health, like first responders die from more often from suicide than they do from on workplace injuries. Though I will say first responders includes EMTs. EMTs actually carry a much heavier load statistically than police do.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we talk about that more often than police.
Yeah.
Because I think as a society, we say like, well, if you're the one applying the violence, then therefore you must be okay with it. But like, I actually have a lot of sympathy for cops who just have to show up to a domestic violence call and then figure out what to do because they're not social workers. But SPD was like under severe understaffing. Mm-hmm. Call response times were at an all time low. A record number of homicides at the same time in the city.
Wow.
And Diaz spent his first couple years attempting to address these issues. Then the straw came that broke the camel's back. Now, at the time of his dismissal, by the way, quick aside, the chief's departure was roughly 1 week after a captain with SPD, Captain Eric Greening, filed a lawsuit alleging that Diaz discriminated against women and people of color at the department.
Whoa. Yeah.
Greening is the seventh sworn officer to sue the department, naming Diaz specifically in a spate of legal actions to hit the city.
Oh, my goodness. This guy, just lawsuits from all directions.
Yeah, yeah. So at a press conference discussing his termination last December, I'm getting off track here, but I can't wait to talk about this. Mayor Harrell said the parade of lawsuits were a distraction for Diaz, saying, quote, he's a human being and a good human being of that. And he praised Diaz warmly before saying that he had agreed that culture change would be better served with him stepping aside. Remember, this is the same department who struck an Indian Northwestern student with a patrol vehicle, and then the sergeant got recorded on body cam or whatever, laughing about how she had no value.
Right.
Yeah, that went viral in January 2023. So that was the same department. So just keep that in mind. In August of 2022, Diaz met Jamie Tompkins. So this is the central to the hurricane.
Yeah.
A news anchor in the Seattle area for the local Fox station. Stay classy, Fox. She was hired, suspiciously, she was then hired to be the Seattle Police Department's chief of staff on June 8th, 2023, a position that he created.
No.
Nice. Guess the salary.
Oh, I'm going to guess $150,000.
Too low.
Too low.
$164,000.
Hey, I was pretty close, though. That feels like...
Remember, this is in government, and government... The premise of government jobs is that there's high stability, but on average, a lower salary, but the great benefits, right? To also have a high salary for a position that didn't exist before, kind of not cool. Uh-huh. I paid for that with levies.
Yeah.
Now, he did not post a job listing.
Oh.
Nor interview any other candidate for the position.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So he just thought... She was so talented.
Yeah.
Like, such a hard worker.
She was just
so talented.
So hard work. So hardworking, he didn't even look anywhere else.
Yeah, you're such a value that I can't even imagine there's another person
there's
on
so
this planet.
There's so much shareholder value here.
Yeah, exactly. Shareholder. Taxpayer value. Taxpayer value. Your TBVs are off the chart.
Now, rumor began to spread before... Tompkins even began her role, as one might imagine.
Yeah,
but they picked up even more steam when she officially started at SPD, causing a huge commotion across the department. So other officers didn't actually like this, which is good on them.
Yeah.
Lieutenants and officers discussed Diaz and Tompkins' relationship informally and in meetings. Word of this chatter quickly reached Diaz in turn, prompting him to address the rumors with his command staff and go as far as tapping the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security to help him, quote, root out the rumor mongers.
Whoa. So he's looking for the snitches.
Yeah, he actually fired a couple staffers just for discussing these rumors.
Oh my God.
And staffers, like non-police, like civilian staff.
Yeah.
Well, actually, sorry. I should not say that. Police are civilians. Do not let the fucking bootlickers on Twitter tell you at ease, civilian, when discussing police. Police are definitely civilian. I just make the distinction, which is to say not beat cops.
Yeah.
Got to catch myself there. Now, over 20 SPD officers spoke to KUOW, who launched an investigation into this. When the story of Diaz and Tompkins' relationship first broke publicly, feeling overworked and lacking proper leadership as well as beginning to see Diaz's behavior as naked corruption. Because he had just... Anyway.
Well, and so she got hired from KUOW?
From Fox.
Fox.
This KUOW is just like the journalist that like dug all this up.
Oh, okay, cool.
So they talked to more than 20 SPD officers. Mm-hmm. More than 20 people knew about it. These were just the people who were willing to talk directly to KUOW under anonymity because they were worried about corruption. And we'll get into this a little bit more. I actually really praised during the No Kings March last week. SPD actually had a really good response. They did not deploy any tactical units. Mm-hmm. I saw police, but they were blocks away. There were some groups of them, but they were blocks away and they were just beat cops. They didn't have riot armor on. They didn't have rifles.
Yeah.
And that meant we had like 90,000 people, you know, across the whole city marching in the streets.
Yeah.
No incidents of violence.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And so SPD, I actually think, has learned its lesson. I think it's also partly because they realize that like the city will... They can't control the city. I think they realize that like the protesters that run these sorts of organizations have more violence than SPD has overtime hours.
Yeah.
which is unfortunate. Yeah. But I think SPD now takes these protesters much more seriously and realize they actually represent a large enough percentage of the population that they can't keep a cork on it.
Yeah.
So instead of trying to simply stamp it out, they actually tried to work with the protests. And there was actually a Twitter grab of SPD saying, "Hey guys, thanks so much for Peaceful March.
Yeah.
And I actually really respect that take. So things have gotten better. SPD, I think, is trying. I don't think they're necessarily succeeding, but I think they're right now headed in the right direction. You know, baby steps, but still.
Yeah, yeah. Working towards it.
Yeah, yeah. So they, SPD officers rank and file were like, yo, this shit not good, right? And an intake investigation into misconduct at the department was prompted after a slew of anonymous complaints to the Office of Police Accountability, OPA, up to some shit. Named Diaz's behavior as a violation of Seattle's policy supervisor-employee relationships on supervisor-employee relationships, which states that people in personal relationships, quote, cannot be put in direct supervisor-subordinate roles, which is very good policy.
Yeah, well, that's most workplaces.
We have a very similar policy here in all the companies I run here at Hemet Law, certainly, because we're larger. In our handbook, it says that if you start a relationship with someone at the office, one third of all relationships start at the office. So, like, we got it, you know, it was something in the long arc of history we had to address. You have to come to HR leadership and disclose that because we cannot have people who are sleeping together put in direct supervisory roles of each other.
That makes sense.
It's also just like a legal can of worms. Like you just don't want that shit. Now, meanwhile, the mayor's office didn't actually believe the rumors at first caused by the Diaz investigation, seeing it as a collective undermining of Sully Diaz's image. Because remember, Sully Diaz was the interim police chief that oversaw the cleanup after the George Floyd protests. And so there are always people talking shit about SPD. So, like, I actually empathize a little bit with the mayor's office because they're like, all right, he's sleeping with someone, who cares? But it was so persistent and started to come from within the department that the mayor's office, who is the executive that does oversee here in Seattle, our police chief reports to the mayor's office directly. In some in some cities and municipalities, mayor's office works alongside the city manager, and the city manager oversees the police department sometimes. They show up together at press releases and announcements, but sometimes the chain of command is more indirect. Here in Seattle, they report directly to the mayor.
Okay.
So the mayor's office is the one who gets involved. Now, for a little bit of clarification, the office of OIG is a city, you know, the inspector general is a city department. They oversee all city operations. OPA, Office of Police Accountability, is a police. It's in the police department. So, you know, we investigated ourselves and found no wrongdoing. Those are those guys. That's the Seattle, the self-investigators.
I think I'm good.
OPA, also, mostly their role is to investigate police incidents of violence and to police. They're the police, the military police, basically. They're internal affairs. They're the internal affairs guys. But OIG is the city's watchdog. Overall. So they don't just deal with the police. But the fact that they got involved as well means this went pretty high up the chain. Now, Diaz continued to accuse his top commanders throughout all this time of leaking rumors to the press, which was true. That a lot of people were leaking shit to the press and began yelling and threatening to write up staffers in a way that it was described as uncharacteristic and unprofessional. Literally shouting matches in the hallways of SPD, signaling a shifting tide as morale within the police department really began to take a nosedive.
So he was starting to get desperate. He saw the signs and he was just...
Yeah, well, I mean, here it was not just sleeping with a direct subordinate who you created a job for already, not maybe, you know, people say maybe not good, but he was also using department resources. Remember, he gets an escort as the chief of police. He gets an escort everywhere he goes. So he was having a security detail go on trips with him to Eastern Washington to buy like jerky and agricultural products for fun and to drive him to the airport to catch like college sports games on like city funded jets. He was using his travel detail in ways that were not related to his work. So people were rather upset about that. Now, the intake investigation stalled for months with OPA and OIG until more lawsuits came out from several female SPD officers citing sexual harassment and discrimination from Diaz.
Jeez. This guy's crazy.
Yeah. So remember, this is the guy who Mayor Harrell appointed as an interim to clean up the department.
Yeah.
So, SPD cartoonish mustache twirling villains. This is the cleanup guy. I'd hate to see the first guy.
I know. Frat star.
Now, after, remember, we don't have time to get into the female officers' lawsuits, but TLDR all the good old boys ass slapping you can serve up on a silver platter. Like all the stuff you'd expect, comments, sometimes opaque, you know, like completely naked approaches during meetings in front of colleagues, like the not good stuff. But you know the picture, you've seen it before. We're not going to get into that, but more the point is more people were coming forward. Like a ton of police officers were suing the department. Now, after poor mishandling of the allegations from the department's communications team, shocker, which Jamie Tompkins helmed.
Wow.
By the way, yeah, so the communications team is helmed by the chief of staff. In her role as chief of staff, the Seattle Times and Mayor Bruce Harrell spoke out against the department's handling of the female officer's claims, which they basically smeared them, saying, "Ah, oh, they're sullying our," you know, you've seen the usual response. On May 29th, 2024, and on shaky ground with almost all allies in Seattle, Harrell demoted Diaz as chief and replaced him with Sue Rahr. R-A-H-R.
Gotcha.
Yeah. The podcast where we don't check how to pronounce people's last names.
Yeah.
In an absolute bizarre turn of events, this is where it gets good after he's been demoted. Diaz then went on a local conservative talk show called 770 KTTH on June 17th. So the next month. And Jason Rantz, R-A-N-T-Z, he went on to address the rumors against him. And then one of his first opening moves was to boldly state that he was a gay man.
Adrian Diaz?
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa.
And I'll put the link in the show notes. And in that case, none of the sexual harassment claims against him could be true.
Uno reverse card.
Because he pulled out he's like, "I'm gay. I can't sexually harass people." Keep in mind, he's also been married for 16 years to a woman and has 3 children with her.
Wow. Which,
while he's also allegedly cheating on her with the chief of staff that he created and paid almost $170,000 a year just in base comp.
Oh man, the wicked webs we weave. Yes,
the wicked webs we weave. On one hand, you are insulting your alleged lifelong partner and loving 3 children.
Yeah,
and on the other, ally. You know.
Yeah, exactly. have you? Oh my God. The Onion released a shirt. This
The Onion do all sorts of shit.
This month. Oh man. I don't know. It was like I'm gay for performative corporate events.
Yeah. Or here at Hemet Law, we did not every June leadership grapples with the undying question of whether or not to turn the logo gay. We didn't this year because I forgot to put it in a request with our marketing team to design that assets. And we're already halfway or whatever through the month. So we'll revisit this issue in June of 2025. I think we'll turn the logo gay then. Mm-hmm. Please give us money.
Yeah. here it is. I'm gay for corporate pandering.
I ally. Yeah, exactly. Now, following the interview with Jason Rantz, Diaz security detail produced and turned over the love letter that Tompkins had written to Diaz. Here we go, which had been left in his squad car. Diaz denied that he had ever seen the card before. Tompkins took a handwriting analysis in response to this allegation at the behest of investigators, which showed signs of trying to obfuscate her natural handwriting. So basically they found the love letter, said, who done it?
Uh-huh.
Is it Tompkins?
Yeah.
Handwriting analysis, please.
Uh-huh.
And then allegedly she tried to obfuscate her natural handwriting to fool it.
Happy birthday, I hope, Ewoks.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it said.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
That's
of all the things to unserious. Be submitted as evidence. Oh, man, an Ewok-themed happy birthday card is so funny.
I will say that as someone who has dealt with handwriting analysis in my day job with Hemet Law, because it comes up occasionally in infidelity investigation, it comes up. Handwriting analysis is a pretty squishy art.
Mm.
So there's no unified standards nationwide. The qualifications can vary greatly. You can also just have false samples because it's so subjective.
Mm-hmm.
And you also need a large sample of handwriting in order. And handwriting changes over time.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, it was allegedly a pretty recent sample.
Yeah.
But still, I just want to caution that handwriting analysis is a lot like tire mark analysis or bite mark analysis.
Oh.
These quote unquote forensic arts that are actually very, very subjective.
Yeah.
So you should treat this evidence with skepticism.
Mm-hmm.
However, in context of everything he had done for Tompkins, I will say that a reasonable inference is that this love letter found in it at work with where he's cheated on his wife repeatedly is probably with his mistress.
Yeah. And also, if you were planting evidence, I would pick out a different happy birthday card. You know what I mean? Like, I would
really
pick a Star Wars.
On the Ewoks thing.
Listen, it's so funny to me. It's so funny.
Now she and Diaz, unsurprisingly, and also thankfully, were put on administrative leave due to dishonesty on October 28th of that year, but not before Diaz filed a lawsuit on October 11th, first one. Note, first one. We'll get to the second. on October 11th, seeking $10 million in damages against Harrell and the deputy mayor, Tim Burgess, for discriminating against him. For being a gay man.
Yeah. Wow.
Now he invented the gay car. Well, maybe he didn't invent it. Yeah. He revealed the gay car.
and then just
sued
it.
Immediately sued the city and then was put on leave for dishonest and then given a paid vacation on October 28th.
Wow.
So lawsuit on October 11th, leave on October 28th. Mm-hmm. That is a pretty suspiciously short timeline to be found for dishonesty.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I just want to point that out. SPD or the city may not have their hands fully clean here. You make your own judgments. Now, Tompkins eventually resigned on November 6th. Yeah, so Tompkins was like, I can't get anything done. Also, this is pretty embarrassing. I'm leaving.
That makes sense.
Yeah, this tail is not worth chasing any longer. Now, Harrell and his office finally fired Diaz on December 17th, 2024. Mm-hmm. So that's his actual. So like he was just chilling on a paid vacation.
Wow.
For several months until December 17th, 2024, following the drama that erupted after the investigative findings came out of OIG on November 20th, 2024. So I'll put that in the show notes. That's the shit that we're talking about right now.
Yeah.
It basically details all of this. He cited Diaz's affair as the main reason for the dismissal.
Wow.
Yeah. So Adrian Diaz is now out.
Yeah.
Thank fucking God. Mm-hmm. Now we'll get to the OIG report and also the lawsuit that is the second lawsuit that has now come out of this. Seattle's Office of the Inspector General published their report on their investigation into Diaz's misconduct on November 20th, 2024. The investigation gathered evidence and statements from several commanders who worked with SPD leadership along with Diaz and Tompkins themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Many colleagues noticed the intimate nature of Diaz and Tompkins's relationship from the very beginning. Some saw Diaz and Tompkins around town together and would even see Diaz's car parked outside Tompkins' house. Remember, SPD knows where all of their leadership live because they have security details. So the fact that a bunch of colleagues were seeing this shit is not surprising.
Mm-hmm.
And that's on page 3 of the complaint. If anyone wants to look, link in show notes. Diaz and Tompkins both emphatically denied anything more than a platonic professional relationship with one another via official statements to OIG. But pages of colleague statements from the investigation may have indicated otherwise.
Uh-huh.
There were dozens of comments from interviewees detailing how often and graphically Diaz would describe his sex life with Tompkins to his coworkers. Yeah, reflect on whether he should divorce his wife and 3 children to be with Tompkins, and even showing a photo of a partially nude woman presumed to be Tompkins with one colleague.
No way.
But remember, this is also the guy who's juggling like 19 lawsuits from various SPD beat cops and also female officers for like smacking their ass and commenting. So
jeez.
Like, am I disappointed in SPD leadership? Yeah. Am I surprised? No.
No.
But
wow. This guy just taking it to a new level.
Remember, SPD chief makes like something like $500,000 a year, by the way. It's a desk job. All of the commanders have desk jobs and administrative jobs. They make a fuck ton of money. The last Seattle police chief left a couple years ago, and now she works as like Microsoft's head of security.
Whoa.
So like these guys make hundreds of thousands in city employee, and they make millions going to the private sector afterwards. So that's why everyone wants these.
But they do it to be a public servant.
They do it to be a public servant until they create jobs for all their buddies. Exactly. So you can, I mean, I do believe that like Seattle top leadership major metropolitan top city and law enforcement leadership should be paid well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but I would also argue that maybe we may have exceeded that a little bit much because of the inherent physical power in those positions. That's a policy and political question. I'm not going to opine on like where you fall on that issue.
Yeah.
But it creates problems like this because he can just summon jobs out of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And then give them to people, whoever he wants, with no job search.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, shortly after the investigation was published, Jamie Tompkins sent a letter to Bruce Harrell on November 26, 2024, demanding that she be compensated How many millions? Give me a guess.
I'm going to say 5 million.
You know what? That's actually optimistic. $3
million. $3
million. Yeah, and now Tompkins's demand was that, like, hey, she's being treated as collateral damage in an elaborate, grander scheme to oust Diaz as chief. Now, Tompkins and the city of Seattle are scheduled to enter mediation talks on June 25th in 5 days.
Wow.
On that issue. So she basically sent a pre-litigation demand letter saying, like, hey.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm collateral. I'm claiming to be collateral damage here. Uh-huh. I've denied the relationship from the very beginning. Your beef is with him. Stop defaming me, basically. Yeah. And they're going to mediation in 5 days, which will probably just be a day or two from publication of this video. Yeah. Now, Adrian Diaz has filed another complaint against the city of Seattle. TLDR, the last one, go poof. But like the most recent one, luckily he pivoted away from the gay thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, actually, maybe they didn't fire me because I was gay. Because remember, that's what he did with the first. He went on a conservative talk show, declared he was gay and that he did not love his family and three children. Uh-huh.
I thought you like just said pivot away from being gay.
He was suddenly gay and now he's suddenly not talking about it. Uh-huh. And also, he sleeps with nothing but women as far as we know.
Yeah.
So, like, can a gay man sexually harass people? Yes, I'm not going to leave that. I'm not going to be vague about that. The answer, yes.
Yeah.
But he's suddenly no longer gay. It's not the focus of his lawsuit now. Adrian Diaz against City of Seattle and Bruce Harrell, the mayor's office, which came just 6 days before the newest release of the investigation evidence by OIG. So it's like it's all happening at once. They knew it was coming out and being released publicly, so they probably prepared the complaint in advance. The lawsuit was filed in King County Superior Court on May 29th. So less than a month ago, in 2025. In it, Diaz claims that he has been wrongfully terminated, not due to his sexual orientation, which he tried in October, but because he allegedly refused to prematurely fire Daniel Arderer, an SPD officer and the police union vice president, at Harrell's behest without due process.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So he's making it about a different issue
now. Yeah, about a different issue. Arderer was recorded on video. Sorry. We'll get through this. I forgot to explain this. Otterer was the police officer recorded on video laughing about the death of Jahanavi Kandula, a graduate student at Northeastern University in Seattle who was struck by a police cruiser on January 23rd, 2023. Jeez. So I forgot to tell you, that was the police union vice president.
Now, I
have a lot of beef with SPD police union particularly SPD police union because they do ghoulish stuff like this.
Yeah.
And it really shows you the culture of accountability. But also because nowhere else in government do we have a union that wields political power and like will put out wild statements accusing various actors and activists in the community of misconduct. Yeah. Imagine like when you see police unions, imagine a parallel of like a teacher's union putting out a letter saying George Floyd actually was okay to kill. Imagine the garbage waste disposal union. Like all these other municipal government workers do not wield power like this, and none of those other workers can physically kill you, right? So this was a huge PR oopsie for SPD, because they hit this and killed this Northeastern University graduate student, and then were caught laughing. The union police officer, who is also on duty, was laughing about how she had no value and they weren't sorry.
Jeez.
Which,
what a horrifying.
Yeah. Oh my God. Now, because of all of this, it was struck with a police cruiser, so government property as well. Diaz further claims that this led to a, quote, rushed and retaliatory investigation into fabricated rumors of an alleged romantic relationship between Chief Diaz and his female chief of staff that the city knew were false. So Harrell basically was like, hey, you got to fire this guy. He hit an innocent person and then laughed about how that was chill, actually, and how that person had no value.
Yeah.
Maybe we should fire them. It was recorded on video. And then now Diaz is saying that, like, well, actually, that was a rushed and this was a psyop.
Jeez.
This whole thing into my relationship with my chief of staff, whose job I created. It's actually a psyop to fire me for this unrelated incident.
They made up everything.
Yeah, it's all a lie. It's a
rumor.
Yeah, you following me? So
yeah.
Yeah. How you feeling?
I mean, I can feel the desperation from Adrian Diaz, like through this part.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I don't know. You can feel that he's like grasping at straws.
Throw it.
Let me try this. Okay, that didn't work. Let me try this.
Yep.
That didn't work. Which is desperate times call for desperate measures. But chill, man. Yeah, just accept it.
There's too many sinks being thrown at the wall.
Yeah. Exactly.
Hey guys, I need your help. This podcast team has been nominated as finalists for what's called a Reisman Award for our work bringing legal aid to unrepresented domestic violence victims. We also run this podcast, for lack of a better word, the largest bar educational channel that we know of here on TikTok and Instagram. Now, a Reisman Award is the largest community impacts award in the legal industry. And I need your help because it's won by popular vote. If you draw value from the community work we do or just want to see community projects like ours succeed, go to the link in our bio to vote for Hemet Law's nomination on the Reisman Award landing page. You don't need to be an attorney to support us. Today is the last day of voting, and we would love to bring this thing home together. Thanks so much, guys. Now, his first cause of action is wrongful termination in violation of public policy. Diaz alleges that his termination was unlawful because it conflicts with city policies that are outlined in the Seattle Accountability Ordinances, which are like a unified government employee ordinance, and Seattle Municipal Code Chapter 3.29 that establishes civilian oversight of police. He claims he was fired for refusing to carry out directives from the mayor that would have required him to violate the due process rights of officers. It's true. Department policy gives officers a lot of due process rights, specifically in disciplining them without completed investigations or adherence to procedural protections. Diaz maintains that his refusal to carry out these illegal orders was the real reason for his dismissal, and that the city's retaliatory investigation and subsequent termination were a direct response to his defense of Daniel Auditor's rights, whereby constituting wrongful termination under Washington law.
Wow.
Yeah, totally chill to actually run over graduate students.
Yeah,
actually.
Exactly.
Little known fact. Uh-huh. Yeah. Two, retaliation in violation of Washington's law against discrimination, RCW 49.60. Diaz claims he engaged in workplace activities, including participating in misconduct investigations and opposing sexual harassment allegations against him, both of which are protected according to Washington state law under RCW 49.60.210. Mm-hmm. Diaz asserts that his opposition to unlawful conduct, both the sexual harassment and Harrell's directive to disregard due process rights of officers, led to retaliatory actions against him by the city of Seattle. Wow. Actions such as his reassignment to a, quote, sham position, the investigation into his conduct, and his eventual termination, all of which are considered illegal retaliation under the cited statute.
Jeez.
He claims.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Now, this one's interesting. Violation of Washington's Silence No More Act, RCW 49.44.211. It's long and the short of it is that Washington State Legislature was like, yo, we got too many businesses hiding up sexual misconduct and other bad shit. Mm-hmm. So TLDR, if you think something is illegal, it's really hard in the state of Washington to get an NDA, like to enforce an NDA or a silence or a settlement agreement. Mm-hmm. Settlement agreements can't even cover stuff like illegal harassment. It's very difficult. If the person reporting, quote unquote, whistleblowing thinks it's illegal, covered.
Wow.
It doesn't always work like that, but TLDR. Uh-huh. And there's statutory penalties for even proposing a settlement agreement. Like even proposing it is a breach of the statute.
Wow.
Yeah. So employees,
that's interesting.
Yeah, employees are protected from retaliation for discussing or upholding public policy. Mm-hmm. Diaz claims that he did this by opposing sexual harassment levied at Jamie Tompkins at SPD and refusing to fire Auditor without due process. He says that the city engaged in retaliation via his termination and by launching a biased investigation, which violates the Silence No More Act's protections and intent. And then we've got some good old violation of Seattle Municipal Code Chapter 14.04. Diaz states the city of Seattle violated its own municipal code stance on fair employment practices by retaliating against him after he engaged in protected activity. And violations of Washington's Public Records Disclosure Act, RCW 42.56.010, numbers. Diaz claims that the city of Seattle and the IGO's office, Inspector General Lisa Judge, violated Washington's PRA by leaking investigation records to the media without giving improper notice as legally required. He asserts that these leaks circumvented mandatory procedures meant to ensure transparency and fairness, and the city of Seattle failed to maintain proper tracking for PRA requests related to this case, all of which harms his ability to respond to public accusations and preserve his rights.
Man, so he went to the kitchen sink factory and just started
hucking everything. Uh-huh. Diaz claims that his statements made by the city and Mayor Harrell that accused him of dishonesty and unprofessional conduct were false and defamatory on their face without the need for further explanation.
Wow.
These public statements damaged his reputation as a leader in law enforcement and created the basis for a claim of defamation per se, which does not require proof of special damages because the nature of the accusation inherently harms one professional standing.
Gotcha.
And then actual defamation, in addition to the defamation per se, Diaz also makes a general defamation claim. He maintains that his statements made by Mayor Harrell and the city were false and made with malicious and reckless disregard for the truth. Diaz believes that these statements have led to substantial reputational and economic harm. We're keeping it going. False light, which is sort of an offshoot. Mm-hmm. Diaz further alleges that the city and Mayor Harrell placed him in a false light before the public by making misleading and offensive statements, suggesting unethical or dishonest behavior in regards to the affair with Jamie Tompkins. He claims emotional distress and financial burden as a result of this.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. With me so far?
Yeah. Yeah. So he's trying to counter right now, basically.
Yep. Yep. Gotcha. And then he also has claims under RCW 4952010 because the city allegedly failed to pay him the full value of his accrued executive leave upon firing, misclassifying it as sick leave, shortchanging him by tens of thousands of dollars. He says this was a willful and intentional act to deprive him of earned compensation, which makes the city liable for damages under the Wage Rebate Act.
Yeah.
Basically back pay. And also another Seattle Municipal Code, Chapter 1420020, Diaz claims that the city violated Seattle's wage theft ordinance by failing to pay him all of his owed compensation.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Specifically his accrued executive leave. So yeah. His paid vacation allegedly was not paid.
Okay. Yeah. So those last two, not as zesty.
Yeah, like, they're throwing it on the pile. Yeah.
Wage compensation, like, I mean, I feel like there's Jersey Mike's employees that...
Oh, do it Mike's way.
Sue for, yeah, do it Mike's way.
Do it Mike's way. Tell Mike, can we get Mike up and moving on this
one? Yeah. tell Mike to get out of the bullpen.
Yeah, tell Mike. tell Mike that there is no safe word. Tell Mike. poor Jersey Mike's employees. Oh,
I feel so sad for them. It's so funny, but I feel so sad
Can we give Mike the green light? Is Mike here?
Yeah.
Yeah, so this uncovers a pretty troubling aspect of SPD is that, like, so much, in my opinion, so much of SPD's troubles comes from the top down. I have a lot of tepid sympathy for a lot of the individual officers who do not have political power in this system. Yeah. Core Downs PLLC, which is the law firm that is representing Mr. Diaz, has, in my opinion, a pretty tough uphill road because statements sworn in court can be used in any other lawsuit. So so all the mayor's office has to do, and not speaking on the merits here because we don't have the answer yet from the city, is they have to go to all the other fucking lawsuits that other people have filed and just pull in anything on the public record and say, Diaz, look at all this shit you were doing.
Wow.
Though I will say the connection between Auderer and Diaz's dismissal, I have no information on how direct that is. Mm-hmm. I think that's all comes down to politics. I do believe that this mayor's office was probably leaning on SPD to fucking do something about this guy.
Yeah.
And I do think it's interesting how the police are routinely entitled to this, like, endless search for favorable context when it comes to their misconduct investigations in a way that actual people protected by the Constitution, both the Washington State Constitution and the federal Constitution, are not. Because police get what I think the criminal justice system is supposed to be, which is a true presumption of innocence rather than just like a suggestion. What are your thoughts?
I think that's an interesting statement towards the end there. Like, is that, there is a true presumption of innocence. Like, they truly get to dig up everything that could possibly cast a shadow of a doubt. Whereas, like, normal cases, it's kind of like... click it and chip it. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean,
not that I'm an expert on either thing, even kind of, but that is my two cents.
Well, and they also in the complaint, I'm going to quote here, quote, the situation with Auderer was not the only example the mayor's office inappropriately attempting to influence and in some instances outright direct SPD in disciplinary decisions without due process and in violation of the accountability ordinances and SMC 3.29. For example, during the same time, a senior SPD officer made inappropriate comments about a transgender teenager in front of a command staff member. real class act, SPD. Yeah. The command staff member brought the issue to the attention of Chief Diaz and Deputy Mayor Burgess. Okay, props, SPD. In response, Deputy Mayor Burgess told Chief Diaz to, quote, make it go away. Not sure how to interpret that. In response to this directive, Chief Diaz explained the SPD could not simply make it go away because there were ordinances and policies in place, including those set forth in the accountability ordinances for handling potential policy violations such as this. Pursuant to the appropriate processes, Chief Diaz directed the command staff member to file a formal complaint based on what he heard. Clearly upset that what had occurred, Deputy Mayor Burgess made clear to Chief Diaz that if an investigation was opened, it would be an issue for Chief Diaz.
Wow. Okay.
Indeed, the mayor's office attempted to influence and direct Chief Diaz to make specific disciplinary decisions regarding certain assistant chiefs of police. These were some examples of the mayor offices becoming frustrated with Chief Diaz's refusal to commit unlawful acts and contravene a clear mandate of public policy by sweeping potentially politically challenged issues for the mayor's office under the rug.
Wow.
Yeah. And this is a really common problem. I actually really empathize with, like, the political leaders' frustration with the power that unions and have, like, all the red tape unions have put around police accountability. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, an officer who displayed Nazi insignia received $1.5 million to resign.
Whoa.
In 2020. So Derek Camerzel, an assistant police chief in Kent, Washington, was investigated and disciplined after he taped insignia of a Waffen SS officer to his office door in September of 2020. Jeez. The city of Kent paid him $1.5 million to an assistant police chief to resign after he was disciplined for displaying a Nazi insignia. he was initially suspended from the city of Kent after he fucking put a Waffen SS logo on his door for 2 weeks. But in late December 2021, after an outcry from the Jewish community and others at what they described as an inadequate response, the city placed Camerzel on paid administrative leave and asked him to resign. But he said no.
Wow.
So he got a paid vacation. In statement, the city acknowledged that the settlement was a substantial sum, but said that it made numerous attempts to negotiate a smaller settlement with Chief Camerzel's lawyer, who officials said initially demanded more than $3.1 million to resign. Basically, they could not fire him.
Oh, my God.
It technically was not against city policy, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And so they had to pay him off. The other choice was just to leave him on payroll infinitely on paid leave. So the city was like, this is doing real damage to our fucking relationship with the community.
Yeah.
We can't be the Nazi department.
Yeah, exactly.
$1.5 million of city taxpayer funds goes to this one guy to resign. God.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
Not, like, exactly what you don't want to hear.
Yeah. And because, quote, it was clear that Chief Camerzel would, quote, pose a significant difficulty being an effective leader in the department and the community. So they basically just paid him off. They could not fire him.
Wow.
The union contract
wasn't specifically stated.
Yeah. And so there was staring down the barrel of years of red tape. And so, it's happened a lot.
Wow. That's wild. That is absolutely crazy.
Yeah. The officer told an investigator that Chief Camerzel had more than once told a joke, quote, that his grandfather died in the Holocaust after getting drunk and falling out of the guard tower.
Oh my God.
It's the classic. For context, for those of you who don't know, I'm Jew myself, so don't come for me in the comments. It's like the classic, it's like an old joke where it's like Jews will be like, in a macabre way, be like, oh, I had a grandfather who died in the Holocaust. I actually did have family members who died in the Holocaust. Wow. And then you finish the joke by saying, oh, he fell out of the guard tower, implying that your family are Nazis. Mm-hmm. I know, sounds
That's
very
crazy.
Gross to like explain out loud, so apologies for the poor comedy. but basically, he was making references to that joke all the time. He just wasn't taking it seriously.
Jeez.
And another detective said that several years ago, Chief Camerzel, before 2020, had shown him, quote, a photograph on his cell phone in which he was wearing a lederhosen and had his facial hair shaved in the form of a Hitler mustache.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, still couldn't fire this guy.
Crazy.
Yeah, he said that Chief Camerzel had also told him that he had once, quote, taken photo with a public figure and raised his hand in a Sieg Heil sign as a joke.
Absolutely fucking appalling.
Yeah. According to the investigation, Chief Camerzel had actually admitted to placing what he described as a, quote, German rank insignia above the nameplate on his door, and recalled that somewhere in the department had once given him the nickname the, quote, German General because his last name and German heritage. He said that he had embraced the nickname.
God. Wow, yep. These people exist? Like, it's just crazy.
Yeah, so the nickname he added later morphed, quote, into Obergruppe... my dad speaks German. I do not. It's Obergruppenführer, which is basically an SS equivalent of a Western general. It's a field marshal, like Field Marshal Rommel.
Yeah.
For you history buffs in the fucking audience. He said he had learned that the term from a television show, The Man in the High Castle. So this guy was... what I'm trying to get at here is that he was both a deeply troubled guy who admitted that he had done shit wrong, and he was deeply unserious, and everyone knew it, and they couldn't fire him.
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting at here.
Jeez.
But he did deny expressing any positive sentiment about either Nazis or fascists. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's a common problem here in Washington. So I wanted to add this story as context so that, like, you guys, when you wonder why isn't SPD doing shit to help people out, they're not doing shit, maybe because they don't want to, but also maybe because they fucking can't.
Yeah.
Right? Keep in mind that...
So much red tape.
Yeah, Seattle ordinances and department policy is technically not law, right? State law supersedes municipal law. Municipalities can write their own ordinances, and then their departments can also write administrative ordinances or administrative policies, and those are, you know, according to department policies, those are the policies they reference when SPD and the police departments talk about it. They're administrative... it's just sort of like the WAC, the Washington Administrative Code. Sort of like that, but much smaller.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's really troubling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
By the way, the Kent Police Officer Association defended this guy.
Wow. That's wild.
Yeah. And just most people don't know about it. Just an absolute
ghoul. Like literally what you picture on like a TV show.
Yeah, remember, this was like, back in the George Floyd days.
Jesus.
So part of the reason I empathize with the city of Kent, because this was coming out in 2020, the city of Kent was like, shit.
Yeah, we have to.
We either pay this guy $1.5 million, or we pay $5 million in riot police overtime for people wanting to burn down City Hall.
Yeah.
Fucking sucks.
Uh-huh. You just have to get rid of a dude like that. That's insane.
Yeah. And I wish, you know, I could leave folks with a more positive message here. But I think the overarching thing is like, fucking watch what happens in City Hall, guys.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see what the city's office will say. They'll deny everything, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Wow.
I know.
Yeah. There's a lot of interesting cops and, well, the absolute fucking ghouls.
Yeah, absolute fucking like, ghouls. And I emphasize that, like, I wish there was more to say, but the truth is that, like, it's super difficult to sue the government.
Yeah.
Triply difficult to sue the police. Quadruply difficult to sue police officers on duty for conduct, even if it's gross and they admit to it and it's on video. Like, yeah. There's so many layers and hurdles a citizen has to come up against. Mm-hmm. And even OPA, Internal Affairs, or the Office of the Inspector General at the city, often their hands are tied too.
Yeah.
Ultimately, it all comes down to what the department can even do to their officers under the union contract.
Yeah.
And unions do not back down. They are rabid because they basically don't think there's so far police accountability has been an anathema. If we are held accountable, therefore, you know, they want to kill us anyways, and therefore the only solution to defend ourselves is to make it so we can't be attacked.
Yeah.
Rather than building a relationship with the community and making it so no one wants to kill you. They, you know, the warrior versus guardian mindset.
Yeah.
We're telling, over the last 30 years, we've been telling police officers that they need to be in various ways afraid of the communities they work with.
Yeah.
And that's going to evoke a very specific response. And I think that system has, for better or worse, worked as intended.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I know.
That was heavy.
Yeah, that was a heavy one. Any final thoughts before we end the episode?
Don't trust fucking cops? Nah, I don't know. What can I say here? I don't know what to say here. I don't want to make any enemies, but geez, this is... Not painting the best picture.
Yeah, I'm just glad Diaz is gone.
Yeah.
I think there's also a chance that City may just make a business decision and just say, take $10,000 or, you know, take $1 million or whatever.
$10,000 would be a low payout.
$10,000 would be actually pretty sick, actually. Yeah. Take like $2 million and fuck off.
Yeah.
Because defense counsel, usually cities, I forget what the Seattle does, but smaller cities will often outsource investigations or defenses or plaintiffs' work to private firms.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Private firms will take contracts. So what I'm trying to say is that, like, City of Seattle doesn't have infinite money. They have a lot more money than most people, but they may have to make a business decision here and just tell them to fuck off.
Yeah.
I think I want to read through Harold's answer.
Yeah.
When it comes out. We don't have that yet. So, everyone, thank you so much. This is another episode of Gossip Without Prejudice. Hit all the buttons. Leave us a review. You people on Apple Podcasts are stingy as fuck. I see you. but in seriousness, guys, I really appreciate all the support. I know this one, you know, so often our stories here are just like awful and then there's no solution. But I think just pay attention to what goes on in City Hall. City Hall and state law has far more daily impacts on our quality of life than anything the feds are doing, no matter how terrible. Thanks so much. We really appreciate your support. We'll be back soon. Cheers.
Later.